You're listening to Pyro Media Network, setting radios ablaze since 2017. Hey, welcome back to Coffee with Kim, the podcast. This podcast was designed just with you in mind, ladies. So grab your coffee or your tea or whatever you have in your cup and enjoy the conversation.
Well, hello, good evening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to It's Just Kim. It is my Facebook Live show, It's Just Kim, all things relationships. Yeah, that's what I talk about. That's what I am about. I'm all things relationships. And tonight, I have a very special show. I know we usually have a mantra time, but we're not doing that tonight because I want to use all the time that we can to talk to these beautiful three, very vivacious, extremely intelligent, wonderful young ladies that I have on my show tonight. Yes, you know, and this whole show came about because I was having a conversation. I'll go into that a little later when I bring the ladies on, but I was having a conversation with my daughter. And we were talking about some things, and the very next day I saw a post, and that post said, she's strong, but she's exhausted. And I was like, wow, that completely describes the conversation we were having. So what I'm going to do is, there it is right there. She's strong, but baby, she's exhausted. And I've been there. And some days, I'm still there. I don't have it all together, even though I don't have small children that I'm raising. I've raised all my children. My youngest will be 21. But even though I'm strong, even though I'm strong for myself, for others, for my family, sometimes I get exhausted. And so I thought about my daughter, and I thought about these other young ladies and some other ones that I know too, who are single moms, and they're doing it on their own. Support, yes, but they're still doing it on their own. And so tonight I want to just acknowledge them and let them talk about their situations. So right now I'm going to bring in these beautiful young ladies. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, and we're going to get right into the show. Hey, girls.
Hey.
Hey. So I'm going to go ahead and have you introduce yourselves. You can share whatever it is that you want to share about yourself. I know all of you are moms. You're all single. Hey, y'all, they single. Thank you. Yeah, do that. So Allie, we'll start with you since you're at the top of my screen.
Okay. My name is Allie. Hello. I am a mother of 3-year-old twins, Adonis and Addison. And I'm strong and I'm exhausted too.
right. Okay. But, we'll go down and Twy.
Hello, I'm Twy, and I am also a mother of 4. yes, every age category. So I'm tired too.
Right.
A mama, business owner, entrepreneur, all the things.
Yeah. Great. Brea.
Hi, I'm Brea. I am a mother of one, and she is a teenager. So we're navigating through that. It's fun. But I'm an entrepreneur and yeah, holding down the fort with my girl. So I'm tired.
I'm tired.
It was a long day. I told y'all today was a long day.
And it's funny because before the show started, you all were just talking about that. You were talking about how you're tired, you know, you're exhausted, you've been working all day. I heard a couple of you say you had to run in real quick and prepare a meal, pull it together. You were sharing recipes, you know. I mean, You were doing all those things right before we got started. And so that's what this show is about. Actually, this show was kind of birthed out of a conversation that Brea and I had last week. And so Brea called me and, you know, she was in a feeling some type of way just about things. And she was in the biggest thing, I think it was probably Brea. And I think we came to that conclusion that you were tired. Yeah. And that you had a lot going on. And you needed assistance, you needed some help. And so we talked through some things. We talked about quite a few things actually. And then we kind of worked out some things. And so that was, I think, very helpful. You said it was very helpful. We kind of included your dad in it. You know, it was like you needed some support.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know if it was the same day. I can't remember if it was the same day or the next day, but I saw this post that Kwame put up and it said, "She's strong, but she's exhausted." Yes, she's strong, but she's exhausted. And it was a quote by R.H. Sin. And I looked him up actually and saw that he has quite a few other things that he writes. And it was very enlightening when I read this because I felt like that is so true, because we had that conversation about being strong and being everything for everybody and trying to be there for yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that can be, it can be a lot. It can be a lot when you're trying to be there for yourself as well as be there for others. You mentioned, you said, yeah, you know, I guess the position that I play in our family is I'm kind of a go-to for a lot of people in our family and love it. I do. I love it. And not because I just want to be all that or I think I'm all that, not at all. But it's just part of my nature to help and to do. And so you mentioned to me that, you know, in our family, kind of in your age group, that you kind of have become that person, you know, for the people in your age group in the family. And so I was like, wow, you know, but sometimes you just get tired, you know, you get tired and you try to figure out things for yourself. But yeah, you know, you still have people who need you. So just because you guys are juggling children, maintaining your jobs, your businesses, you trying to keep the house together, you know, your kids all have extracurricular activities. I mean, even from the 3-year-olds to the 15-year-old.
Yeah.
All your kids are busy. I think all your kids are busy. Even the baby is busy, right? Yeah. He's busy too. And so because of that, you know, It kind of extends you in it a little more than it would a normal, a regular person who is married and has that in-house support. Because now you have to do it all yourself. And if you're not doing it all yourself, then you have to rely on other people to assist you with that. And let's not even talk about the fact that, you know, you're all young, you're all beautiful, trying to have a love life, you know, trying to date and have a relationship, you know. I mean, all of that it's a lot. So that I put up, Kwame, if you could put that back up, I want to ask you, Brea, what does that mean to you?
For me, it just, it, it just, it meant exactly what it said. Like, yeah, you know, she gets up every day, does what she has to do, doesn't complain about it, doesn't make a big fuss about it, just does it. But it does not mean that she's not feeling it and that, you know, it's not affecting her in some type of way. And a lot of times I think that we just go, that we don't even realize how it's affecting us until it's like, you know, you're down. Yeah. And before you know it, you're in a bad space and, you know, your kids can see it, you know, like they can feel it. And then it's like, then you kind of have to have a self-check. And then it's like, okay, get out of this space, call somebody, you know, figure it out. And that's when I decided to call you. But it was exactly that. It was just all, I was just counting up all of my problems and the solutions were down low. So I didn't have it. And I was just feeling like, okay, I'm used to feeling like I have it. And I just didn't have it. It was a very humbling feeling, but it was a real feeling.
And wow. Twy?
Much like Brea said, everything that she said, I felt. Aside from that, she's strong, but she's exhausted. For me, I really have a hard time when I'm feeling a way about anything and someone says, you're strong, you got it. It burns me even more because I don't need to hear that. I know it already. And sometimes that just even knowing you're strong, it makes it harder to get out of those moments because you feel like, why can't I get out of this moment right now? Because I'm strong. I got it. You know, like, and that's that control factor, like being used to being able to control everything that's going on with you. And when you get to that moment where you just can't and you just break down, I know lately for me, whenever I have that moment, like my cry is uncontrollable and I'm shaking. And I'm just like, you know, it's almost like a big anxiety attack.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, I have to talk to somebody quick in that moment because things are happening really fast around me, right? So you got to kind of get back to the moment as well that's outside of you. And so having somebody, you know, unfortunately, Brea is my person that I would call in that.
Unfortunately.
Don't say unfortunately. I always feel bad for Brea. I'm like,
so in one of those. In one of those moments, it's just like, it's just very important to have a person, you know, that you're comfortable with to call. And that's not always going to offer up something to you that's just going to say, stop and breathe.
Yeah.
Because it's not always them offering. It's not always her saying, well, maybe this, maybe that. Sometimes it's like, you need somebody to tell you, hey, stop. Take a deep breath and just let's start over.
Right. Exactly. Allie?
Heavy on the exhausted part for me, in the literal sense of I'm the kind of person that actually needs 8 to 9 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. And not getting that, I literally go into a whole funk. And somebody say, hey, and because my personality is so clear, you can always tell when I'm down or when I'm tired. And what's wrong? But I have to say, there was no catastrophic event. There might not have been anything that happened. I'm just literally tired. You know, when you have toddlers, you know, they get sick for no reason once every other week. Okay. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, you know, dealing with that.
Right.
Strong, you know, so when I look at the statement, she's strong, but she's exhausted. We're going to get the work done. And when I say the work, I mean life. We're going to, you know, pay our bills. Our children are going to be, you know, healthy. We're going to make sure they're happy. That's going to happen. You know what I mean? But sometimes I'm tired. And I say the exhausted part for me is a literal sense of actual fatigue and tiredness. Mm-hmm. And because my lifestyle, my profession, and the way I carry myself being an office manager, ironically, managing life, right? The children's extracurricular activities, that kind of stuff, not easy, but at least it just goes smoothly because it's already what I do. Mm. But the physical part of it all, I'm exhausted. You know, waking up at 4:30, getting myself and then 2 3-year-olds together, going to daycare, going to work, and I have, you know, 2 jobs, and then coming home, getting them together. You know, I'm exhausted by 4 p.m.
Right. No. That's a good thing. That's a real thing, you know, because I remember being a young mom of 4, Well, a young mom of three. I wasn't so young when I had Zion. But a young mom of three, and I was in college. I was working full time. My husband is the pastor of a church, so I had duties there. And I had three children, probably all under the age of 10, eight at one time when all of this was going on. And it was exhausting, even with the help in the house. I was still tired, and I had to, my husband, he came up in a family where his mom was a stay-at-home mom, and so she did all those things. And his dad didn't have to do that. His dad just provided. And I don't say just provided, but that's what his dad did. He provided so that his mom could be at home. And the thing about it is, we were doing something different. And so he had to learn to do something different, and that was a struggle. When we first got married, it was like, I need you to do something different. I just don't need you to just, bring the money home. I need you to help me. And so he did learn how to do that. But even in that, I was tired. So I know that you ladies are tired on a whole nother level. Two of you own businesses, one of you is the manager at your business, pretty much run everything. And so you're in charge all day long. You think about it. You guys are in charge all day long. All from the time you rise in the morning to the time you lay down at night, you are in charge of your life and other people's lives. So that's.
It's funny
Go
because
ahead.
we all interact daily in some type of way. And it's just funny because I hear her kids, I hear her kids. It's like it's not even like just the kids, because I don't want to make it seem like, the kids are just, going crazy all the time, because they're not. Like, they're really great kids, all of them. But like, it's just funny because in some type of way we're intermingling in each other's lives. But I find that important too, because I feel like I don't have to explain myself with them. They get it, you know what I mean? And vice versa. Even though we're at different stages in our parenting, like, we get it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm right here, twice coming right behind me, and Alice coming right behind her, and I've just seen all the stages. So it's interesting, and like it's needed. The community is needed. And like, just being able to voice ourselves without getting that underlining judgment that people make in our situation. The judgment of, well, you should have done that. You shouldn't have.
You knew what you was doing when
Trying to
you
hear all
had
that.
to.
I don't want to hear all that.
No.
Not at all.
My baby is
No, you
15. Are you
don't.
kidding me? I don't want to hear that.
Right.
Like,
Yeah. No, that's a great point that you raised, Brea, that doesn't solve anything. For you to
No.
rehearse to me, well, you should have known this and you should have did that. You should have made a different decision. Do you know how many decisions I could have made differently in my life? I'm 59 years old. And there are a plethora of decisions that I could have made differently. And maybe my life would be different. And maybe it would be worse. Who's to say? I mean, we even have a theory about, my baby Imani. Brea had thyroid cancer. And we found out 4 months after Imani was born. And so I asked the doctor, I said, hey, do you think her, being pregnant, having the hormones and everything going faster or growing quicker was helpful in us finding this out earlier? And he said, oh, absolutely. So I don't believe in shaming people. I don't, because I've made enough mistakes in my life to be ashamed for the rest of my life. So I'm not with that. I don't advocate for that, and I don't join in that. So thank you for raising that point. What do you guys do when you become you get to your breaking point? Because even as a mom, with three kids back in the day, There, I have breaking points. Brea could probably tell you, don't tell him, Brea. But Brea could probably tell you, there are times I was like a crazy person, screaming and hollering, and, you know, don't sit down, you know, that you type of what? Thing. But what do you do?
It is mandatory. I mean, I've been, you know, on, you know, the Dante show. Shout out to Dante. You know, and I've talked about, you know, my depression. And because of that, it's mandatory for me to reach out to my village and to my support. Ironically, the three people on here, you know, call, you know. And I have to get to a healthier space about it, because I will get to the place where I'll just start crying. Mm-hmm. And it could simply be because I'm just that sleepy. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'm that tired, you know, and it just, it goes into a emotional thing where all of a sudden everything starts spiraling. Like all of a sudden I'm a bad, just because I'm so tired this one day, all of a sudden everything is bad. Oh my God, I'm a bad mom. I'm you know, I'm a bad, you know, everything just, everything that's probably not that bad seems 10,000 times worse because of how exhausted I am. So when I get like that, I have to reach out to my support system to, you know, essentially talk me off the ledge, you know. And when the babies were babies, you know, that was really important. At one point I called, you know, family. They had to come in the middle of the night and just get them, literally.
Yeah.
And take them to you guys' house because I couldn't see. I feel like I literally remember just sitting there staring at these people crying. You know what I mean? And but the answer to the question is, what do we do when we get to that point? Reaching out to my village and my support system, and having the honest conversation, having someone, you know, help calm me down.
Yes, that's good. And that's good that you realize that. Mm-hmm. And the blessing is that you have a village, you know, and, but you know, it's imperative that if you don't have a village, so we're talking to the young ladies out there, moms out there that don't have a village per se, that you create a village. You don't, you know, we have to create whatever we don't have, right? So if you don't have a village, then you have to start creating a village, and you have to be intentional, and you have to share with people, look, I'm creating a village because I need people that I can come to, I can bounce off, I can come, no judgment, I can say what I need to say, and you give me good advice, or you just, like you said, Allie, you just listen. Let me unload. So Brea, what do you do when you reach your breaking point?
See, I'm working on mine because, like, it takes me a while to call. And I don't know. I think it's the personality thing. I always, like, I'm always thinking about other people and how, what they may be going through. So I'll think about, oh, she, well, I'm complaining about this, but she got that. Like, you know, I'm always doing that. So I don't, I kind of don't for a while until like it gets bad. So I'm working on that because it's really, really not good. That was like last week when I called you. By then I was crying. By then I was all emotional. And I don't want to wait to get to that point. So I'm really, really am working on like being more, but just being better at that. But in the small situations, the day-to-day, I do have, like Allie said, the village. I think we can all agree, like, the village is really important. It's different reasons why I might call my sister. It's different reasons why I might call Allie. It's different reasons why, why I might call Twy. And then there's reasons why I might call Ray. And then, of course, there's all the reasons why I'll call my mom. But it's, like, I'm really working on my response time so that I'm literally sick.
I love that. That's good. That's a good, honest answer.
I'm serious.
No, that's great. That's good. Twy?
I'm a work in progress, too.
Look, you see how everybody's
Everybody knows. I retreat. I get quiet. I just get quiet. And everybody knows I'm actually really active, like, on social media and things of that sort. So Brea probably knows more than everybody in the world when I'm there, because she'll call. I haven't seen you. It's been about 4 days since you put a comment or anything. What's going on? So it's usually that for me. And I'm learning how to ask and accept help now. I have a really, really hard time asking for help because I have gotten a lot of the comments where you got yourself here, you did this, you should have made it better. I got all, I don't want to hear that anymore.
Yeah.
At all ever. And okay. So because of that, I know it might not be from everybody, but I just don't want to feel like a burden ever. So I really struggle with asking for help and asking for anything.
Yeah.
Really. So I'm working on it.
We're going to work on it. So we're going to go to a commercial, ladies, but when we come back, I have a couple more questions for you. All right. Commercial.
Filled with diversity, where radical faith and progressive believers come together. There's a place that's breaking all boundaries and embracing believers from all walks of life. Bullet and Flight Radio, where believers unite, boundaries break, and love triumphs.
Okay, ladies, we're back. And I have this one question that I want to ask, okay? How does being a single mom affect your dating life? That's what everybody wants to know.
Okay. This is a conversation that we have quite often because it's like,
I'm sure.
I am realizing that being a single mom does affect my dating life. At first, I was in denial that it did. I thought it was just, but now I'm really starting to realize that my availability and my proximity to the type of men that I would want to date is kind of like, you know, I chose to move where I live because of where Imani goes to school and like, you know, I like it. It's cool. And it's where she began to grow up when we first moved out here. So I didn't want to make her, you know, leave that. So I am realizing that it is harder. And then also when you have a child who is like, who knows what's going on and then like cahoots and she's getting older and starting to like people, she's now more like paying attention. So I'm way more like, I got to be really picky choosy on who I date and like who I allow around and spend my time with because she's like paying attention and she's asking questions and you know, it's different kind of questions from when she was 5 and 6, you know, right. It's yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's time. It's just time. Like I be thinking like, okay, I just picked her up from volleyball. Now I got to go home and get myself together and take a shower and dress and put on makeup and then go to LA or, you know what I mean? Like, or meet halfway. Just thinking about it is, it's kind of exhausting.
Right. I'm tired listening to it. Yeah. Who's next?
You know what? You know what? All jokes aside, dating for me, it's been tough right now. And not even because I don't have support in the sense of if I say, hey, you know, can the kids be watched? When I don't have my children, I want to go to bed. You know what I mean? It ties into, like, for me, the very first thing I said on here was heavy on the exhausted part. Mm-hmm. You know, I can have a time, you know, the kids will go to their granny Tori for, you know, more than a few days a month, you know? Mm-hmm. And during those days, you know, if I got 4 days to myself, you know, without the kids, I want to spend 3.5 of them with just me, you know? Okay. And that doesn't open up the door for dating a lot. But I think that's just where I am right now. I think I'm in a space where my focus is on the kid. And it's not a blaming them. It's just, you know, I did everything I did and everything I wanted to do, okay? I enjoyed myself. And I don't mind that I'm in a, you know, I don't have that. Well, I know, I just don't have the story of, I didn't get to live.
Right.
I did, okay? So okay. I'm okay being in a space of not doing a lot of dating just because I'm just, you know, in a space, you know, I've been working on myself physically and I just honestly, I'm tired. Like Brea said, you know, the energy to get cute, put on a good Spanx and Spanx and a good bra, you know, I don't really have it.
Okay.
And that could be, what's one thing someone said to me? It could be because there just isn't the person that I've met that makes me want to do it either.
Yeah.
So it could be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of both, I think. I think that I just don't have a situation that, you know, makes me want to do it, but
okay.
If I have to choose between going out and going to bed,
you go choose going to bed.
Listen, I'm just saying. So that's just kind of where I am about it right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's honest. That's good and honest. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. All right, Twi.
finding babysitters is not hard.
Okay.
I don't ask for babysitters often anyway, so it's a little is easy because of that too. But I have athletes, and going out, I don't even have a weekend to myself.
Wow.
During the week, you know, I have a man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we don't even go out because he works. I work Monday through Friday. We work. Well, not Monday through Friday, but we work. You know, we're. I'm absolutely exhausted after work. But then for me, after work, I'm going to a practice over here, over here. I got to get home. I got to cook. Then we're going to go back outside, pick up from the practice, get in. And that is just next level exhausting. Mm. And then I have, you know, my athletes are traveling and travel ball and this and that. So there's no off season in the sports that are in my house, which means every weekend is devoted.
Wow.
And so I can imagine how it is with him, me never being available. And if I were having to date new people, it's kind of like, it probably would never happen.
Mm.
I can't tell you what time a game starts because I genuinely don't know until the day of. And I can't tell you what time it ends because I don't know. And so that's a problem. It is a problem. Because you're going to move on to the next person that's available.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And in the past, that's what I did experience, that my availability was like so shot that it would be like, well,
it is what it is.
Wow. That's interesting, you know. And I honestly, you know, I come from a different generation, of course, where unfortunately we was getting married at 20, you know. And so I look back now as a 59-year-old woman, and I think about how young I was when I was like having a serious life, married, kid, buying a house, doing, you know, that type of stuff. And I think, God, I was way too young doing all of that. I didn't think I was then, because that's what, and I hate to say unfortunately, but in some cases, it's unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's what we were doing at that time in my generation. We were getting, it was not unheard of for a 21, a 22, 20-year-old to get married. and start a whole life and a whole family. And I look at you all, you know, because I've known you all since Huck was a pup. And I look at your lives and I think sometimes I'm really just admiring the fact that you, even though you guys are tired, you're exhausted, and honestly, you all make it look easy. You really do. You're so good at it that you really do make it look easy. And I know it's not. I'm not crazy enough to know, to say or to think that it is easy, because I know it's not easy. But because you all are doing such a fantastic job at taking care of your children, running your homes, running your businesses, you know, being very effective on your jobs, I mean, it, you know, it makes it look easy. So I'm leading it to this question. What advice would you give two different people? What advice would you give a young woman who's even considering, you know, now people consider just, you know, I don't need a husband. I don't need a this or that. I want a child. What advice would you give someone who's maybe in that frame of mind, who's thinking that direction?
Ooh, can I go first?
Go right ahead.
No, I definitely do have a opinion about this, because, and I actually talked to my brother about this, because he is a single man, and you know, sometimes you get that feeling like I want to, you know, but I'm just like, okay, me and my baby, we make it look easy, and we have a great time. We've built a great life together. She's the yin to my yang. That's my dog, but. At the same time, I would be lying if I said that there are some struggles that I've had to watch her go through that I wouldn't wish on any child. So, and I think about that for the little ones coming up. Like, you know what I mean? I no matter how much we rally around and we're a village and we do all that we do, it's just some things that will always kind of have a void there. And so I would encourage her to, I know sometimes in some situations that is the case. You kind of have to do it by yourself, but I would encourage that person to make sure, if they do want to do it by themselves, to make sure that they do have a nucleus, because that's going to be so important for not only you, but for your child. Because I think sometimes we make these decisions and like the kid is really the most important factor, and those kids, they figure things out. You know what I mean? Along the way. And they start asking questions, and they're trying to figure out why Tommy at school, mom and dad came to back to school night, but it's just mom at my back to school night. I'll never forget when Imani asked me that. So it's the real thing. And so it's something to consider when deciding to do that. But if it happens, you know, it happens. Babies are a blessing. Papa told me that when I was 19. You know what I mean? And she's been nothing but a blessing to me. Right. But at the same time, from the inside looking out, I would say, you know, if you could go the route of having that support system in home with you, go that route. Because, you know, it may not always be the best thing, because sometimes those situations aren't great.
Right.
But, you know, perhaps it could, you know, be helpful down the line.
Good. Thank you, Brea.
That was good. I agree wholeheartedly. If someone were to, what would I advise someone? I don't make it a secret that my situation is, it's not a Cinderella story. It's not a fairy tale. It wasn't my game plan, to have children at all, let alone under these circumstances. You know what I mean? And I agree with Brea. There's questions that are going to be asked. Mm-hmm. You know, as we know, my children are also biracial, you know, right now they can't tell, but it's going to be a conversation that's going to happen.
Right. They don't know.
They don't care. But right now, I just got thrown off by something. But I wouldn't encourage to actively go into this, you know, situation, you know what I mean? To make it a point. However, though, it is a different day and age, though. You know what I mean? There are lots of women that do it for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whether it's age, whether it's financially, they're able to.
Yes.
You know, they're able to even have, you know, stuff like nannies. You know, everything is so different. But as far as my particular situation, would I encourage someone to do it, to knowingly, you know what I mean, plan to have it like this? I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't. And I do, and it's not a secret. I have an abnormal amount of help, right? A lot of support. You know, their father might not be involved, but they got 20 uncles and 16 pawpaws and, you know, and godfathers. Right. And so there are men involved in their life. But again, there's going to be some questions regarding, you know, I get sad sometimes when I see the songs come on the little cartoons and they talk about the mommy and the daddy, you know what I mean? And and I'm like, and I keep waiting for them to feel away or to ask me, you know, but they, they haven't. I'm like, all right, cool. I got a little bit longer to wait. You know, so again, to your original question, what would I, you know, what would we tell someone who wants to do this? I wouldn't say that it's, again, it's not my fairy tale story. And I don't think it's anyone's under these particular circumstances that I'm in, but, you know, I do think everyone's story is different and it really depends on the individual and why a woman or even a man would want to have a child, you know, in the, by themselves. So.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Quad?
So funny enough, I am the one that has the different story. I was married when I had three children and you could have never told me that I would have them alone. I would have never believed anybody if you said that. And one of my main reasons for getting married as young as I did was because that's what I saw in my grandparents. And that was the, you know, it was a pressure that was on me to do that and to do it the right way. And the right way turned out to be the wrong way. And so I will never, ever advise anyone on right or left. I will say you just have to do what's best for you because my kids now are struggling. And the oldest all the way down to the youngest. I was gone before the youngest was even old enough to understand. She's never lived with her father. So my older ones, I had to put in therapy and they had to learn how to navigate a new life without the two of us and without seeing their other parent. And then going to school and seeing all those things like Brea said. But now I'm dealing with the youngest one. Finally, she's just now starting to see like, wait a minute. Where's this person? And people, her school people are telling her, you don't have a dad because we've never seen him. And so kids are just, they just say things sometimes and they don't understand the impact or how they're affecting another child. So though she knows she has a father and she's only seven, she's questioning me, do I really have a dad? But like, she doesn't know, you know what I mean? Like she's not of what happened in the whole situation. Like, well, why did my friend say this? You know? And I'm like, well, let me explain. So those questions will come. And these kids are, they're different. She's way different from her older siblings.
Yeah.
She's a lot more intuitive and she's going to ask all of the hard questions.
Right.
So I would never advise anyone to go that route, but you go the other route, I can advise that it won't turn out to be that way.
Right. Yeah.
That's true. That's true. And it could, you know, you could get married and raise your kids and they go off and build lives and it could end, you know? So we really can't say. And I think you said something that's really important is you have to do what's best for you. Because I can think about people in my generation and probably even more so the generation before me, where they were getting married. And it was a horrible situation, but they were staying married. They were staying in those really bad situations because that's what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, so thank you. Thank you for your honesty and sharing that information. Let me ask you
three different perspectives, too, because we all have
very different. Do you overcompensate for the kids because of these different situations?
I do. even to a certain extent why they have so many godparents, which is, you know, a running joke. I knew, you know, it's not a secret from day one. I knew I was going to be a single mother and I wanted them to have, you know, father figure, you know, that extra people in their life, you know what I mean? So I'm like, you're going to have godfathers, you know, and you're going to have this, you're going to have that. So I set that up on purpose, trying to make sure that they, trying to set a precedent where they won't ever be without. And then I definitely am mindful and always trying to do a little bit more. And I mean, but I'm probably less than the two people on here to tell their business. I'm teasing. But I think we do all overcompensate, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we all overcompensate, and then we all overcompensate on each other's kids too.
Yeah.
So it's a thing for sure. I'm not mad at it because you know it's more love for the kids, and you know, as long as the kids have a good balance, I don't see anything wrong with it in a sense. Now when I do see a problem, I try to pull back on certain things. Okay. Sometimes I'm like, don't be expecting that, but
you said something really important, Brad. You said we overcompensate on our children, and we overcompensate on our each other's children, and then you got these grandparent people who overcompensate.
They off of Amazon.
It's the aunties. Y'all yeah, different.
It's insane.
It's different.
But you,
yeah,
you know,
that's a whole other show.
I will say this in regards to us overcompensating, because we have to all pat ourselves on the back. I think that for where we are, our ages, everything, we have worked extremely hard to get here.
Yes.
And sometimes I kind of like throw the overcompensation thing out the window and say, we're actually able. And we are blessed to be able to do what we do for our kids. And I think that we also all do provide, even though we all say, oh, these entitled kids and yada, yada, yada. We all have very respectful children and very mannerable children. We have good children, well-behaved children. So I think that we do a great job at providing that balance there. Even sometimes they drive us crazy in the house and we like, this is my fault. Fine. But guess what? We work our butts off to be able to do what we do. And I still, although I know it might be considered overcompensation, whatever, that's the proper term for it. I wouldn't change it for the world because I worked to get here. I work to be able to make good. Things happen.
And for me, overcompensation might not even be something physical or, you know, monetary or a gift or anything. It's just extra hugs. I'm always aware that I'm shaping their story as adults, right? So when they become adults, what's their story going to be about their household and their mother and everything? So even if they are in trouble, and I still love you, okay? You can go in your room with that tantrum, and I love you, okay? Okay?
Right.
And or whether it's my friend's children, you know, whether it's going to, you know, AJ's softball game and screaming like a lunatic. You know what I mean? I wouldn't call it overcompensating, but I want that to be his story where when he becomes an adult, he can always remember his Auntie Allie was there screaming abnormally loud. You know what I mean? So emotionally, I like I said, I don't know if I would call it overcompensating, but I definitely want to put a lot into them, you know?
Okay.
A lot of extra hugs and extra this and that. So I can be mindful of what their story. Right. Right. They can be mindful of what their emotional development is going to be and what their story is going to be when they're adults.
Yes.
Life is not easy, but they remember their mother was there and she was all under them. And honest, might not want me to hug them, but you're going to hug me. We're going to hug, okay?
Right.
I love you.
And he'll appreciate that later on.
And that's my point, the bigger picture.
It's important, too, especially with your boys. And I'll say this for the two of you that have boys. One of the things, and let me say this, hey, you all, Facebook friends, YouTube buddies out there, please hit like and share. Make sure that you're sharing this, that you're liking it, you know, so that people can get in on the conversation, all right? So let me say this.
Tap, tap.
Okay. And not the kind of tap, tap I used to give, right?
Used to.
But listen to this, though. When my son was young, when he was little, I would hug him and love on him and kiss on him. And there were times he was like, but I did that because I wanted him to know what the touch and the hug and the kiss of a good woman feels like.
Yeah.
And so it's important. It's important that your sons are, you know, they get that love, that touch. And even our young ladies, you know, if their dad is not around, they have a pawpaw or an uncle that's going to give them a very a kiss or a hug where they don't want anything in return. That's so important for our children to learn. I want to ask you guys some different questions. First, I'm going to, Kwame, put that slide up for me. I want to share this information about HIV and AIDS. And there is this. It says, For Black women, 91% of new HIV infections were attributed to heterosexual contact, while the HIV infection rate among Black women was the highest compared to women of all other races and ethnicities. That is amazing to me. And I wanted to bring this point up because, you know, we're talking about being young women, we're talking about dating, and right here, 91% of new HIV infections were attributed to heterosexual contact, and Black women are the highest compared to women of all other races and ethnicities. What do you think about that?
Crazy.
I'm honestly trying to take it in. I'm trying to take it in because that's an alarming.
Yeah, it's very scary.
It's very alarming.
Now, is this something that you talk about in your girlfriend circles?
No. I don't think we talk about HIV.
I can't remember a conversation where we've discussed HIV.
Yeah. And because of this, I think it's a conversation that probably should be had. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, let's sit down and talk about HIV, but just the fact that this statistic is very current and very real, it is something that I think we should, you know, share with one another because, you know, you're dating and you want to know the status of a person, you know, you want to know your own status and things like that. In your opinion, and let me say this because, you know, I'm a pastor, you're members of my church. But let me ask you this question. Would faith-led conversations about sexual health be something that would be helpful to you as young women? And when I say faith-based or faith-led, like that's something like if we had a women's group at the church, and we talked about this HIV statistics and we talked about the different things that are important for women, not just Black women, but women to know to be safe. Would that be helpful to you? Would that be something you would be comfortable with?
I feel like we would be comfortable with it because we grew up with it. I think that you guys offered that up to us when we were young. You provided us that space to come to you as young women to have those conversations and be comfortable having those conversations. So I know that I feel like with us, we have good rapport with younger women. I guess it's such a taboo though. Like a lot of young people don't feel like that would be invited in the church scene or the faith-based. But aside from that, a lot of people that meet us outside of church are wowed by us all the time because we can have fun with them and have all these conversations. And then at the end of the day, we'll be like, we got church in the morning. And they're like, y'all go to church? You know, or they feel that before we even have the conversation. And it's just like, dang, like y'all made us still feel loved and y'all really are about y'all. And then when they see what kind of church we go, or they see our church family and how we don't waver. We're the same there and outside. It's just like, we want to see what this is about because maybe we can incorporate this and not feel that judgment that, you know, that the world puts out there to say like, oh, well, don't go to church because church is going to make you feel X, Y, Z. We are just very comfortable where we are. And I think it'll take a certain person to invite that in.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with Twy. I feel like it could be a good thing. It could be a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it could be beneficial. And I think that it's kind of needed. I think that that space has kind of like went away.
It has.
That space of like, let's really get in here and talk about some stuff, like some real stuff. Like, let's not get in here and, you know, patty cake it. and let's get down to some real stuff. And I think that I was just telling I had like a kind of like a client the last week, and she's kind of like a one of the newer younger pastors, you know, with heavy influence and stuff like that. And she was just telling me about what she's been experiencing. And I was like, I feel like it's a swing happening right now. It's like a pendulum swing. And people who were like, oh, I'm not doing that no more. I'm not there no more. I'm good on church. I'm good on church people. It's swinging back, because I think that people need something. People are really out here needing something a little more deep than what the world is willing to offer. Yeah. So I think that if you offer it, people gonna come.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think it's really important too. And let me ask you this, because I know, you know, we just came out of the whole COVID thing, and then people started getting, you know, the vaccines and all. Some people are like, yay, vaccine. Some people are like, no vaccine. And that's everyone's personal opinion. But do you think that if there was some type of HIV vaccine, a successful HIV vaccine, do you think that women would respond positively to that? If that was something that could, you know, prevent you from contracting HIV, do you think that would be something people would be open to?
I do, if the conversation were more, if it was the conversation, because here's the thing. Yes, we do discuss being tested with each other and partners or whatever, but we never discuss HIV, if that makes sense.
Specifically, I think that's where my question is.
We do discuss other STDs. HIV is just not the one that comes up in conversation with women, right? But we are in a different time right now, and there is a lot of things that are going on that are being done, being dishonest, and a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people outside, right?
Right, right.
And so it may need to be a part of that normal STD conversation.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking because of just what you're saying, that because of that 91% of new HIV infections are attributed to heterosexual contact. And then we as Black women, we are the highest compared to all other women who are contracting the infection. So I think it's definitely something that we need to discuss, something that definitely I believe, you know, I don't know what other pastors believe, but it's definitely something that I think should be talked about in our churches, in our sister circles, in our, you know, women's groups and that type of thing. I remember, and we got 2 minutes, but I remember being a leader in our young women's group. And I bowed out gracefully right when my daughters became teenagers, because I didn't want them to feel uncomfortable. But I remember having conversations, and I remember drawing diagrams on the board saying, if you know, when you sleep with this person, and it's, the room had no judgment. So when you sleep with this person, and that person slept with these three people, and those three people slept with these three people, you know, we did that type of thing. And I think it's something that we probably need to get back to. And I really think it's something that we need to employ younger women like yourselves that could reach out and identify better than me, you know, with younger women, so that we can all be informed. But I want to say this, we are running out of time. I don't even know how to thank you all. The comments are blowing up. This is a very needed conversation. We may have to do a part two. Definitely, because you all are blessing young women. I can see it on the feed. You all are blessing young women. You're blessing them out here. I had a young lady say to me before the show started, I need this show. So she needs a village. She needs to hear that she's not by herself, you know? And so I want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If I ask you to come back and do a part two, would you come back?
Of course.
I ain't gonna tell me no anyway.
Just that one little part really quickly about, I know we have to go, about the grouping. I think what happened, especially with people like us, it got more personal and private, the conversations. as opposed to the community thing, like the church programs. You know what I mean? Like somebody mentioned, I think Maritza mentioned the Daughters of the King and programs and groups like that. We had the church. We kind of made it more private and personal. Like you said, you stepped out because your daughters got older. You know what I mean? And then we stopped talking inside the church about stuff. And we started just talking, you know, in our own little private groups. I think the overall point is to open up the door for situations, for more groups like that in the church where we can talk about it, just if that makes a little bit of sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense. Well, look, thank you, ladies. Thank you. This is actually my last show of the year. We won't be back until January, early in January. But please, audience, if you would go to Spotify or Apple Music, I have a podcast called Coffee with Kim. You can enjoy some really very transparent podcast information there. If you want to come visit us at church, we're at Church One Ministries. In the city of Long Beach, you know, my shameless plug.
Long Beach.
Yes, but next year we're coming back. We have so much we're going to offer next year. We're going to be working on our podcast on the time off. I want to thank my producer, Kwame. He is amazing. He blesses me. He encourages me. I want to thank Pyro Media Network for being a great platform for me to grow on. And I want to thank you three ladies for just being who you are and being the wonderful young women that you are. Thank you so much. Hey, it's just Kim. I told you, it's all things relationships. And I thank God for my relationships with all three of you ladies. Hey, look, y'all take care and you stay safe.
This episode is brought to you by Pyro Media Network, produced by Pyro Media Productions, setting brands ablaze since 2017. Thank you for listening.